the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Deadly mosquito-borne illness that kills almost half its victims is here.
Great. Fearmonger.
We do have mosquitoes down here.
Yes, we do.
That's a negative.
And I want to say this before a mosquito disease starts ravaging our society. I want it to be known now, before that happens, I am against mosquitoes.
Oh yeah.
If we got rid of them altogether, I wouldn't even care. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, what do they bring to the table?
What do they do?
Well, here's what they bring to the table. Eastern equine encephalitis.
I don't like it. My younger son loves Rob Zombie and White Zombie to the point where when his baseball games start up, all the kids have walkout songs, and his is Dracula by...
Oh, that's a good one.
So
that's a good one.
My wife had to make sure that the version, that like it was a clean version.
Right.
And the team mom was like, that's awesome. I love it.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. Text the show, you know the number for that. Missed the first 2 hours, just having a lot of fun. People sure get to be real. Yeah, I wish we were doing a show in Australia, because they use the word that rhymes with hunt so well. They really do. It's like, dude, here, people act like such runts over music. It's, you like what you like, man. Be good with that. Like there's some people that I'm going to check out now, thanks to what some folks have said. Also, just want to mention, yesterday I appreciate the fact that we had a fairly lengthy political discussion, and almost across the board, everybody was really cool about it. There wasn't, oh, you're this, oh, you're that. Everybody had their opinions and stated some different opinions. But
when was this?
Yesterday, when we were doing, you know, we were doing a lot of the stuff around the Confederate flag and all that.
Well, we've had a lot of those political discussions.
I know, it's been
called racists libtards or something.
There's
like
always
that,
but there were some really good comments that disagreed, but made good points, and that's all I was looking for. So props to you guys for yesterday. I never got around to it because, well, the show was going on. So, man, is it wrong of me that I have zero interest in the damn baseball draft? I mean, I'm not usually very interested in it. I'll go read up on the guys they got, and then, you know, 3 years from now, we'll find out they're good prospects or not, which, if we even have baseball in 3 years, if we even have a world in 3 years. 682 says, I remember the first time I got an excellent playing clips of Dover on Guitar Hero. What a great day. I mean, I didn't do the Guitar Hero thing, but that was so popular for a long time. I imagine that brought a lot of these guys back, right?
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because I never really got into it.
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you good at it?
Yep.
Interesting.
My kid broke it, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I never understood the concept of the game. Were you supposed to, how did it work?
Basically, like, you see, there's a flow of buttons. You've got, I think it's four buttons, and you've got like a pedal, but as the things come across the screen, you've got to hit the buttons in order. And if you hit the buttons at the right time, if your fingers are timed down right, then it plays, you know, the way it's supposed to.
Ah.
If you don't, if you've got the slow fingers, okay, you're a little out of tune.
Interesting. Interesting.
They had a drum kit, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work for a video game.
It was.
Okay.
But it was a workout.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Houston Media Critic was asking me, do you like Guns N' Roses, Coma? I pretty much love every Guns N' Roses song prior to Chinese Democracy. So there's not really a song of theirs that I didn't like. There was some stuff on GNR Lies that I wasn't comfortable with. But yeah. Although, even Slash made such a difference. That's another reason why that guy's high on my list. When we saw them in Vegas, when they did the songs from Chinese Democracy with Slash playing guitar, they sounded completely different. They sounded like Guns N' Roses songs and not crap. So anyway, always fun to dive into music a little bit. I need to pay more attention to some of the country guitarists because I really do appreciate somebody who can tear off a pretty good riff. And that's it's still a lost art. By the way, I didn't do a gym. I'm going to have to do a gym next segment. Don't let me forget. I've got another story I wanted to get to. This is one of those things that I don't know why you get attention for saying this because there's no chance it will happen. We go to England where apparently they have a thing called the Miss Bum Bum Championship, which kind of like it sounds.
I think that started in Brazil and they have adopted it.
Ah. England adopted something from somebody else? That's not usually how it works.
No, never.
Well, Jessica Lopes. Could be Lopez.
I think it's Lopez. I've never heard someone called Lopes.
Well, with an S.
Yeah.
And she's English.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to go with Lopes. She's a former Playboy model who once took her clothes off in front of the House of Parliament. Well.
Oh, my.
She is a huge Chelsea fan, as am I. We're on the same team now. Well.
I'm NC Dinos.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Korean baseball. This is an English Premier League. This is a real league.
What's my team that Glenn gave me? Oh, the Red Bull, Leipzig.
Leipzig Red Bull. Yeah,
yeah, that's my team.
We'll
kick your ass, Chelsea.
If Chelsea can make it to the Champions League, which right now they're
doubtful.
They're on path.
Doubtful.
No, they still gotta. You just gotta finish top four, and they're hanging in there, and exactly. It may be top five because of the whole thing. With Man City getting kicked out, that's another, I don't want to dive into
some other thing that I don't want to talk about.
Yeah,
at all.
You won't care about. Well, she says if they win the Champions League, she will pose naked with their shirt on. Nothing will stop me. Well, first off,
you can't be naked with a shirt on.
Right. And no one's going to stop you. When she says nothing will stop me, is there anybody standing up and saying, don't do this?
The police.
No. But she is a. She works out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she definitely does. So that's another reason to root for Chelsea to win the Champions League.
Well, I don't think I care enough. You don't even like nudity.
I don't like it in movies.
Okay.
And no, don't wait. You're misrepresenting. I don't mind nudity. I just don't need to see sex scenes.
Okay.
So that's because they always look fake.
Well, they are, unless it's in a porno, and then sometimes it's real.
Right. But, Dr. Tyler here, anyone mentioned Tim Reynolds, Dave Matthews, guest guitarist on occasion? Yeah, a couple people have mentioned to him. That's a guy I have to go listen to live, because I don't really know any Dave Matthews songs. I know that people don't believe me when I say that. But
there's the one song, the Counting Ants song. Everybody knows that song.
Well, I'm sure I know it, but I don't know that it's
Ants
Dave
Marching.
Matthews.
Oh, that's what it is.
Counting Ants.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You can tell I'm a big fan too.
No, there's songs that I'll hear and I'll recognize the song, but I don't know who the artist is. So, like, I've probably heard Dave Matthews.
Is Ants Marching the Why Would You Say? Is that a different song?
No, it's a different song.
Oh, okay. What's that one called? What Would You Say?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's a good name for that.
What would you?
Which one of those songs is bigger on this is the Ant song, right?
Okay, I've heard
this is Ants Marching.
Yeah.
But I had no idea who it was.
What's it? What is this his biggest hit on Spotify or is it the Why Would You Say?
Second biggest. What Would You Say is not even in the top 10.
What? What's number 1 then? Oh yeah, this is like this is what gets all the chicks panty dropping. Yeah. What's this song called?
Crash Into Me.
Yeah. What's number 3? I want to see how many of these songs I've actually heard of. Because he makes big hits. You cannot quit me so quickly. What's this song called?
Space Between.
I've heard this song, yeah. I know this
song.
Yeah,
the chorus is. It's been used in like TV and movies a lot.
Okay, what's next? I've heard this song.
Satellite.
Yeah. What's next?
I don't know if I've heard that one at all.
This guy's got a bunch of big hits for a band that I don't like that much.
He's
a
jam band.
Isn't he kind of like American Nickelback? He's just got a ton of hits.
I think he's kind of like, I think they're like a pop version of like the Grateful Dead. Like the people who like him are really into him.
Yeah.
But they get their songs played on the radio, which Grateful Dead doesn't.
They don't even get that many songs played on the radio.
Then how the hell have I heard these songs? I've never been to a Dave Matthews concert.
They did in the 90s, but anything they've put out in the last 15 years doesn't really
make radio. Oh, I didn't even know they were still
putting
out music.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I thought they were just playing the same 10 to 12 songs over and over again.
Well, they put out an album. Last album came out in 2018.
You know where we hear this stuff, AJ? Is in the freaking casinos in Vegas.
That's possible, too.
And that's why I've heard all these songs, but I don't know who they are.
Let's see what Alton has to say about the guitarist that they missed. I'm assuming he means us.
I'm sure he means you, not me.
Probably you with your stupid list. What's up, Alton?
Alton? Oh, well.
And...
Yes.
Hello. Hey, Sports.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Waiting on you.
Waiting on me. Story of my life. Hey, listen. I was sitting there listening to have your guitar conversation, and I'm not a musician, but I think a lot of it's got to do with the day and time that we were born and raised and what bands you got to hear. You know, as far as country music goes, Vince Gill's a monster. He really is. But I never heard B.B. King, Prince, Jimi Hendrix, or Buddy Guy, man.
Let me just stop you now because the whole conversation was about greatest living guitarists, and you just named off a bunch of dead people.
Yeah.
So that was, and I don't know much about Vince Gill, nor do I. Is Vince Gill alive?
Yes.
Last I saw Vince Gill, he had gotten very heavy. Like, I remember Vince Gill, like, late 80s, early 90s, was like heartthrob. Vince Gill, last I saw him, looked like Chef Boyardee. Like, that's all he's been eating is canned ravioli for the last 10 years. He's not looking great.
832S, who was the guy in the movie Crossroads with Ralph Macchio? That was Steve Vai. And
he's very good.
Steve Vai is terrific. He did, he first kind of came to prominence as the guitarist in David Lee Roth's solo act. He did all the stuff on those albums, Yankee Rose and all that. Very good guitarist.
It looks like Vince Gill's lost some of the weight, so good for him.
Oh, good. Good. Man. Ry Cooter did all the blues stuff in that one.
Cooter.
That's an interesting movie. Jamie Gertz at the time, extremely hot. that's a long way back. And see, I don't know what she looks like now. Not that matters. So your wife would know about faking it, huh, Fred? Thanks, buddy. You guys just beating me up today. Long as you're... somebody said Buddy Guy's alive and was touring up to COVID.
Ah, okay. Buddy Guy, I mean, how old is he?
He's got to be up there.
Yeah.
I'm having a debate with my buddy on who's the best front man of all time. I said either Steven Tyler or Freddie Mercury.
It's
Freddie Mercury, and then I just won't. Everything else is second as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Buddy Guy is 83.
Ooh, good for him.
Yeah.
Way to maintain. Yeah, that's one thing. Fred and I don't agree on much musically. That is one that we do agree on.
Well, Bad Company we agree on.
Bad Company, extremely underrated band.
Yeah.
And Shooting Star, one of the greatest songs ever written. It makes me feel good, even though it ends in sadness.
Well, it tells a story.
What's Bad Company's number one song on Spotify?
It's got to be Bad Company.
I bet it's Feel Like Making Love.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Ooh. Yeah.
83 million for Feel Like Making Love. Bad Company is in second place at 53 million.
Yeah, they don't get enough plays.
No,
enough
that's,
plays,
a, big, that's
man.
A big gap.
And then
you guys want to hear some cool
let
stuff.
Let me guess. So Shooting Star and then Rock and Roll Fantasy. Is that the top? Is that four?
You got it right with three. Number four would be Can't Get Enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's another big hit.
Yeah.
How are they not considered like one of the biggest bands ever?
I don't know. They were huge when I was in high school. They were a little bit before. But when I saw them was right after the Rock and Roll Fantasy album came out. I saw them at the Summit. Yeah.
Oh,
What a good song. I wonder, like, I know was it Killswitch that covered Bad Company? Did an awesome job. Five Finger Death Punch, yeah.
They covered, the song Bad Company?
Yeah, yeah. But I think somebody ought to be covering these other songs.
Someone should cover this song.
Yeah. I think it'd be a hit again. So Joe Satriani is one of the greats. I still have the Surfing with the Alien CD.
You mentioned him earlier.
Yeah. Well, and it was always hard to kind of separate him and Steve Vai because Satriani taught him and they sound a lot alike.
Good Lovin' Gone Bad, not as popular as some of the others, but that's another pretty great Bad Company song. Run with the Pack is pretty good.
Yeah.
Ready for Love.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burning Sky. I feel like that's maybe late Bad Company. No, Rock and Roll Fantasy.
Rock and
like
Roll Fantasy was kind
company.
Of the end of the
end of their run.
Them.
No, Electric Land, like that early 80s stuff was the end of their run. Rough Diamonds. Which was the name of the album.
Yeah.
But Electric Land, it's a banger. It's a banger.
Now there's some good freaking songs that those guys did. All right.
And they were cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about them was they all had the exact same haircut.
Paul Rogers, great voice, too. I know that there are other people that came after, but Paul Rogers, to me, had almost the perfect rock and roll voice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Who is that?
That's Puddle of Mud.
Oh,
really?
Mm.
They have covered this song?
Don't they cover, like, every great song poorly?
I don't know about that.
I thought they were, like, known for covering songs that piss people off.
Tesla has also covered it.
Okay,
let's hear their version.
Because Tesla also has done... They had a badass cover of Signs. That's a pretty good version.
Yeah, I can get down with that.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Plus, I like that guy's voice quite a bit.
I'll tell you the song that has been, I think, covered. It's got to be up there amongst the most covered songs. And there are several great versions of it. And it's one of the great songs ever written, but Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, I think
the Smashing Pumpkins
version is my favorite of that.
It's great.
Yeah.
But Bush did a cover version of it.
Wasn't bad.
I'm no political activist here, and I know that there are some people who hate these chicks now, but those Dixie Chicks did a good version of it. What's her name? Miley Cyrus did a good version of it. It is a very, very heavily covered tune. And the original is great itself. But that song, I feel like maybe... I wonder what the most covered song is. But I think that's the one who has the most... Ooh, like,
I bet it's Johnny B. Good.
Okay. But I would say this song, Landslide, has been a hit for the most amount of artists.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
According to the Guinness World Records, Yesterday is the most covered song in history.
But like, who's another band who it's been a hit for?
Yeah. I mean, that was... And by the way, correction, it was Killswitch that covered Dio, that Holy Diver, which I love. That's such a great version.
Because, like, I know. Well, maybe not. Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else. Because obviously the Beatles song, but I don't know who. Like Elvis did it. Boys to Men did it.
I know.
And I think Willie Nelson has done it. But I can't think of any. But even like Boys to Men, I think it was a hit for.
Okay. Shinedown's cover of Simple Man is probably better than the original. Love that song. I agree. It is just the guitar and his voice. That's one of my old karaoke go-tos also. You know who did some really badass covers? And this would be before your time. And was it made sense later when I found out Rob Halford was gay. But Judas Priest did some really bizarre covers of stuff like Green Man Alishi by Fleetwood Mac. And Diamonds and Rust, which I think was whoever was the chick that sang You're So Vain. That was a cover of her song. And they basically made them their own.
Is it true that The Chain by Fleetwood Mac was never released as a single?
I don't know.
I believe so.
That's wild. That whole album, that Rumors album. I mean, I get Fleetwood Mac gets their due as a great band, but
Carly Simon is who I was thinking of.
They've got a lot of freaking hits.
Somebody brought up a good point. I think Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen is one of those.
Oh, that's
got to
be up there.
Yeah,
too.
Definitely.
But I know it was a hit for that kid on American Idol. I don't remember. His name was Jason Castro. I remember because it's the same as the Astros catcher. And he did a very good job with that. I know that a lot of people have done Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Although
I think my favorite one was that Hawaiian dude that did it on the ukulele and died.
None of them.
The Jeff Buckley cover of Hallelujah was better than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of the Somewhere Over the Rainbow covers were as good as Judy Garland because she was so hot in Wizard of Oz.
I can't remember who did it live, but they did just a pure guitar version of it, of Over the Rainbow. It might have been Chris Impellitteri going way back, but somebody did just a badass instrumental of Over the Rainbow.
My buddy Randy says Five Finger cover of Blue on Black is better than Kenny Wayne Shepherd, which I don't know of this Five Finger Death Punch cover, but I do love that Kenny Wayne Shepherd song.
I haven't heard a Five Finger Death Punch song I didn't like. I mean, I don't love them all, but I sure haven't heard one where I go, oh, that sucks.
Joe says he always felt Metallica's cover of Turn the Page was better than the original.
I would agree with that.
That's a tough one.
I'll take it a step farther. I think their cover of Whiskey in the Jar is better than the original.
I'll give you Whiskey in the Jar. I'll hold back on Turn the Page.
But Stone Cold Crazy, not better than the original by Queen.
No.
When they did that Garage Days Revisited thing. A lot of people saying GNR did a Yesterday cover. I've never heard that. They have a song called Yesterday, but it's not the Beatles song.
It's not that song.
No. Yesterday's got nothing for me. Man, some of the stuff
Willie and Merle did a cover of Yesterday together.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned Willie. And Earl was on, or Merle was on that.
Some of the lyrics you couldn't write today from Can't Get Enough by Bad Company. Will I take whatever I want? And baby, I want you. Hashtag me too. There's that old Pat Travers song where he's talking about domestic violence. That'll never fly. All right. I still have a gym of the day.
This is the Five Finger Death Punch one?
Yes.
Crank it up then.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't know if I like it better than the original, because the original one's got that kind of twang to it that I dig. But this is good.
I have to listen to the whole thing, but yeah, I think I like it better.
But you also like anything that's a little bit heavier.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I can get into some bluesy type stuff.
Well, I have to be in the mood.
But I'm a man of culture, unlike Fred, who just wants screaming and loud guitar riffs.
What's wrong with that? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. Somebody said, I heard a lot of covers of House of the Rising Sun. Yeah, that's another one.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Yeah. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Tyler Cito says Five Finger Death Punch also covered House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah.
I've heard the Bad Company. I'm pretty sure I've heard House of the Rising Sun, too. God, this is Tyler's wheelhouse. This is Aaron's wheelhouse. This is AJ's wheelhouse. I love this.
Brandon on Facebook thinks we need to get rid of Rebecca Black on Friday and move to Andrew WK's one hit, Party Hard.
I mean, I do like that song.
I do too, but not for.
We're not going to trade out our girl Rebecca.
No.
We found her before she was a megastar. And then she became a megastar.
Right.
And now she's not. I'm not going away from her.
I'm not.
Rage Against the Machine coming in with a Bruce Springsteen song, The Ghost of Tom Joad, which I think is a great cover, too.
Well, that one I'll say much better than the original because you know what I think of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Can I give you an obscure cover? Cheap Trick covered Day Tripper by the Beatles.
Okay.
And Robin Zander's voice is actually it sounds very Beatlesque. Because they've done some other things of theirs, too. But that is a really good... If you like that song, it's a really good one. And I don't even know what album it's on. It might have just been it was a B-side of a single back in the day when we had vinyl.
Yeah.
So that's going way back. But because you guys spend an hour on stuff that's not sports and still keep it entertaining, never a topic without a great opinion from you guys. And, well, sometimes our opinions suck. There's some people who don't like my musical taste. So that's fine. That's cool. I'm just mine comes from my background and yours comes from your background, and it's like, you know, we love the things that inspired us, and so many of the people that we've talked about. I mean, Freddie Mercury to me was the most inspirational figure in music when I was growing up, and not just because he had the most amazing voice and he was the best front man, but the
most
fact that,
inspirational, like, to you?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, because Queen, it's kind of weird, my biggest influences were, from a theatric standpoint, was Queen, just from a performance standpoint.
Okay.
Because they were the gold standard. Ted Nugent is a guitarist.
Hmm.
And my style to this day is still very Ted Nugent. And that's who I grew up listening to, and that and Kiss. And then it started evolving in Cheap Trick and bands like that. But my style musically was very much like Ted Nugent's. It evolved into, later on, I got into to going as fast as you can, like Yngwie Malmsteen and all those guys. And then I kind of realized, okay, this is just guitar masturbation. It's not music. And not that some of those guys don't make great music, but for me, I just, you know, look, Ma, look how fast I am. You know, and after a while, I kind of got back to making it a really good solo doesn't mean going as fast as you can for the entire time. You have to, it's like anything else. You have to do it for effect. You have to do it at the right times. But, yeah, that was probably it. That was probably my biggest influences. And I know it probably surprises you to hear Ted Nugent, but.
Not really.
So, somebody says you should find a way to work Party Hard in the rotation.
Yeah. You can maybe do that. Yeah,
281 says, I miss Dimebag Darrell. Me too. I wish he'd lived.
One of the other songs that's been covered a lot, and I've looked up a list, and it's been covered by a lot of big names, Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
David Bowie, The Four Seasons, The Young Rascals, Cher, Michael Bolton, David Gilmour, John Mellencamp, Green Day, The Rolling Stones, The Jimi Hendrix Experience, like those are just a few of the. That's like some of the bigger names, but Johnny Winter, that's a pretty good who's who of guys to cover one song. Bob Dylan, he strikes me as a guy. I mean, he doesn't strike me. It's just a fact. He's often covered because he's such a great songwriter and such a mediocre performer, at least vocally. So,
well, that's the thing. A talented artist can take a great song and make it better.
Although, hard to argue that anyone did Like a Rolling Stone better than Bob Dylan did. That's one of the songs that he wrote that kind of fits his style very well.
I know a couple people who did All Along the Watchtower better than he did.
That one I'll give you. That one I'll give you. But and that's one of those songs, and I was just talking to Pink Valkyrie on here about Hurt. Like, All Along the Watchtower is one that you have to pull. Like, people will swear up and down that's a Jimi Hendrix song, and you have to convince them that it's a cover. Johnny Cash's Hurt. You have to convince people, no, that's not a Johnny Cash song.
Right.
And if people don't know Nine Inch Nails, they don't believe you.
Right.
Because those are songs that were made so much bigger by the guy who covered them. Kind of like, and it's rare that you can make a song even bigger than the Beatles made it, but A Little Help from My Friends ended up being... And that guy, by the way, I think all he does is cover songs, right?
I think so, yeah.
And he does them pretty good. And he's a.
I'll give you another Beatles one that might have been bigger.
Joe Cocker is the guy.
Joe Cocker, yeah.
Couldn't think of his name off the top of my head.
Helter Skelter. That both Motley Crue did it and then U2 did it.
Yeah, but I think, Charles Manson made that song bigger than anyone.
Yeah, probably so. But it's funny because...
Like, if Charles Manson hadn't picked up on that song, does anyone ever cover it?
Probably not.
Probably not. Like, he made that. He's the one who made that a pop sensation. Well, thanks a lot, Charlie.
Hey, we're talking about living.
Oh, yeah.
He's not alive.
That's true. R.I.P. Hey,
we've got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, I'll make this quick because there's a couple texts I still want to get to. Good stuff on the text line today. Again, guys, thank you very much. It's been entertaining. We go to Russia, where a Russian former road safety official has successfully sued a 12-year-old kid.
Okay.
It was a kid on a bicycle. She hit the kid with her car. Her car got scratched by the bicycle, and... she sued him for damages to repair the car. The young boy had basically had multiple injuries, but he and his family have been ordered to pay 1,300 rubles in damages.
Ooh.
Lilia,
it's like $20.
Korozenko, former employee of the Ministry of Education and Science in Murmansk, was rammed right into the kid with her SUV. And as a result of the crash, she didn't suffer any injuries. The boy left with a bunch. Broken teeth, ended up in the hospital. While he was successfully recovered, doctors say he'll have to wait till the age of 25 to have his front teeth replaced. When the accident took place, she was reportedly in charge of children's road safety in the region she was driving in.
Whoops.
She no longer holds that.
Shame. Oh, they said you're not great at this job?
Yeah. So, somehow, that's one of those frivolous lawsuits, man, that you just go, come on. Hey, man, fuck that. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, I think it's ruble. I don't know what that little signal means. That could be euros. That could be something. I don't know.
Well, I was just telling you guys, only y'all could hear that during the song. But 1,300 Russian rubles, if that's what it was, is $18.54 American.
I think it was 1,300.
You would have
euros.
Lost in Price is Right world, but in this world, you win.
That's pretty close.
I think it was euros, but I don't know.
The value of the ruble, not that high, believe it or not.
201 says, shout out to Eunice for providing an amazing final meal before my wife Dana gives birth tomorrow. Amazing food and even better staff, support local. I haven't been there, but I hear great things, and good luck with the kid tomorrow. So forever was that show you said you were watching about if the South won the Civil War, couldn't find it on Netflix. I don't know if it was Netflix, Amazon, or Hulu. I barely keep up anymore. But it was called The Confederate States of America. And pretty interesting. So somebody asked a question I always ask is, what artist or band do you think defined or was the most influential to your generation? For me, it was Nine Inch Nails and Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's two pretty good ones.
Mm.
Hulu. I mean,
you see, it's tough for me
Hulu.
Because...
okay, it's on Hulu, guys.
For me, because my parents raised me on music, and I was in, like, I was raised up on the Beatles and the Stones, and ZZ Top. So, like, that's the kind of stuff that...
Yeah, I should have mentioned ZZ Top was the biggest influence for me besides those two. So.
But, like, when I think of my generation, I mean, it's... And the, like I've said this before, the first band that I really identified with, and I was like, this is my band, this is for me, was the Beastie Boys, which in hindsight sounds kind of funny, but that was the band that like I first felt like this is who I am.
Oh, I'm guessing at your age, if you saw Fight for Your Right to Party and saw the video, yeah, you fell in love with them right away.
But I don't know if I could pick one band because like when I was in high school, Nirvana was so big. I wasn't the biggest Nirvana fan. I liked Nirvana, but I liked Stone Temple Pilots better. Nirvana was just more famous.
I liked Soundgarden better, too.
But Rage Against the Machine has always been up on my list. And then, like, Tupac and Wu-Tang Clan are up on my list, too, I would say.
Yeah, I missed that whole era, basically. It's weird. Got burned out on music and didn't listen to anything in the 90s and started. There's a bunch of stuff from there that I haven't really heard. It was later in the 90s I started listening and I went back and bought a bunch of Chili Peppers and Green Day and stuff like that and started listening to them again. But I went a whole decade without really paying attention.
I think I'm in the minority. I'm not crazy about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I feel like all their songs sound kind of the same and they've never really evolved. I mean, they're fine, but
they have some good songs, but my big beef with them was I finally got to see them in concert. I was really excited about it. I think Gnarls Barkley was the opening act. And they did, like, at the end of the show, they didn't play, like, five or six really good songs of theirs. Instead, they did, like, an hour-long giant jam session where they played the same three notes over and over, which I don't really consider a jam session. And I left thinking, this is the worst crap I've ever seen, and I'm out on them. So, I can't believe I spent $150 for good tickets to see that. So, all right, we are going to take a quick break. Oh, hell, we only got one segment left. This one flew by today. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN
97.5.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's the last segment. Well, thank you, guys. This has been a fun show today. I needed a show that was light and not important. How's that?
Well, there you go.
Trying to have a little fun. So let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's start with something that we've just been talking about. A publication has come out and named the greatest guitarist of all time, Total Guitar. Are you familiar with
Yeah,
them?
Yeah, they've done. I think they do this all the time.
Well, they have decided that the greatest guitar player, greatest rock guitarist of all time is Brian May.
Wouldn't argue that. That's one that. Well, I mean, I think you could argue it, but I wouldn't argue it.
Well, some other big-time guitar players came out in support of it. Guys were probably better than him. This is totally appropriate recognition, in my opinion, says Steve Vai. Yeah. Your boy, Beto O'Rourke, Nuno Betancourt, says, "Congratulations, Brian. From the first note I heard you play, you've shaped my guitar and musical DNA. I would never become the guitarist and, more importantly, composer I am without engulfing Queen and you. Brian, so blessed that we can listen to you anytime. Love you."
Yeah, he had so many iconic riffs. You know, that's the thing that really stood out. And, you know, he benefited from having the greatest front man in history, too. But, yeah, I don't know that I'd have him number one, but the list I did, he wound up number one with the criteria I had.
Well, there you go.
So I still probably lean Eddie Van Halen, but can't fault that at all.
55 years ago today, a musical mistake was made. Maybe the biggest mistake in the history of music.
I was born?
Close.
Oh, okay, just missed.
Close. Tommy Moore quit a band called the Silver Beatles 55 years ago today. He answered an ad in a newspaper where Paul McCartney and George Harrison were looking for a drummer. I joined the group, but it was tough in the beginning. We did get an invitation for a tour in Scotland, a very tiring one. I needed something more secure, so I abandoned the hobby of playing drums. Quit without warning on June 11th, 1960. And he got a more lucrative job working a night shift at the Garston Bottle Works.
Good choice.
Yeah, didn't work out so well for him. He probably would have made more money had he just stuck it out. But
maybe. Although maybe they don't become the same without
Ringo.
Come on, man.
You've got three of the greatest musicians ever.
Ringo's underrated.
He
is very underrated.
But Ringo's still the fourth best musician in that band.
I know, but you take somebody else in there, maybe the songs don't sound the same. Maybe they're not as popular.
Maybe the ones where Ringo sings, somebody else sings, and they're better.
Well, that doesn't take much, but yeah. But I don't want disrespect for Ringo. Come on.
Fair enough, but let's just face it that you could have played the drums with John Paul and
George. No, I can't play drums worth a damn. I'm like that. I'm one of those monkeys. It's funny, I can play almost anything, but I sit and try to play drums, and I'm like Ellen from Seinfeld dancing. It's brutal.
Elaine,
yeah.
Kelly Clarkson has filed for divorce after 7 years from her husband, Brandon Blackstock. They were married in October 2013, citing irreconcilable differences. They filed for divorce in Los Angeles a week ago. The separation date as TBD. They share two kids, River Rose, who's six, who's six tomorrow, actually, and Remington Alexander, who's four. He's also father to Seth, 13, and Savannah, 18, from a previous marriage.
Savannah, Georgia?
He was a music manager, and reps for Clarkson didn't immediately respond to requests for comment, but she'd been social distancing at the couple's Montana ranch during the pandemic. And I'm telling you, a lot of these people who had to live together through this pandemic, it didn't work out. Like, people,
I understand.
Couples aren't meant to be around each other 24/7 for months on end. It's not how it's supposed to work.
Well, and that was 2 years longer than the contract should have been. Should have been a 5-year contract. If you'd done that, they'd have left happy.
And Happy Days alum Anson Williams, known as Potsy to some, filed for divorce for the second time in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good run. He'd been married to the same woman for 30 years, Jackie Williams. 9 months ago, filed for divorce, and they agreed for the sake of the children to remain apart and to lead separate lives, but not be divorced. So he canceled the divorce filing. However, that arrangement didn't work out either, and our status needed to be clarified with a decree of divorce. I cannot be married to her anymore. He cited irreconcilable differences. Despite best efforts to work things out, sometimes you have to do what's best for everyone. So, second time he's filed in a year. We'll see if he can get through it this
time. Well, I thought he divorced two different women in a year.
No.
That's me personalizing things and making it about me.
Yeah, it's always about you, Fred.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job today, boys. Great job by the texters, too, and the tweeters and everybody. Aaron, you get an A+. Hoffman, you get an A+. I think I was pretty good today. I'm going to give myself a C-. It's a pretty good grade for me. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Hope everybody has a great one. Till then, stay Rona-free, bitches.